Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us the talent of time. And we pray, dear Father, that you will help us to use it effectively in our daily lives and in your work. Father, help us to understand some principles and that we can be more efficient in using the time that you have given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I have a thesis. And, I'm calling it a thesis now, and the thesis is the definition of a missionary. Remember from yesterday? Talked about the definition of a missionary. A missionary is a person whose sole aim is to demonstrate the gospel to the world using all his or her time, talents, and resources to reach this goal. Yesterday we talked about talents, because that's more or less an overarching topic that includes time and resources. Today we're going to talk about time. Tomorrow we're going to talk about resources. Okay, so how to use resources for the work in the work of God. And so today will be about time. And so this is the thesis, and this is like the foundation that we have an understanding that all of our time, talents, and resources are here for the sole purpose of investing them in the work of God. Okay. Here, the value of time. You might have heard this before. If you had $1,440 a day, or say Norwegian crowns, no, it's less value, right? Euros, even better. It expired by the end of the day, and you could not save it. How would you use it? How would you use that 1,440 euros? You know this. We have 1,440 minutes a day, 10,080 minutes a week, 32,400 minutes a month, and 525,600 minutes a year. How are we to spend this time, you know? Time is something that we can never accumulate. Time just goes. That's why it says in the Bible, and we'll look at some sacred texts, that the time is evil, I believe, because it just continues. It doesn't stop. Okay, as a foundation, we'll look at some sacred references in the Bible. In Genesis 1, God made heaven. And when you look and when you read through that, you can see that God made the heaven and the earth, and he had a plan. And he didn't say on the third day, maybe on the fourth day I won't do it so much, or I didn't get done what I wanted to do on the third day, and so I had to do it on the fourth day, or, you know, there's not none of this procrastination and saying, I'll do it later. He had a plan, and he put it into practice. And in Genesis 1, 27, if you go there, Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, so God created man in whose image? His own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So he has created us in his image, so we are to be like him and also make a plan like he was when he was the creator God. He was not procrastinating his plans that he had made. He had made plans, and that's what he did. In the councils of heaven, we actually read about he had made plans, and Lucifer got jealous about it. Yeah, why didn't they invite me? But that's another topic. But in any case, there was plans laid and it was executed. So anti-procrastination. Then we know from Daniel 9, 24 to 27. If you haven't studied this prophecy, study it. It's amazing. It is right on the dot. Anti-procrastination is not to delay or planning and not saying, oh, I didn't get it done today, I'll just, do it tomorrow. In the Latin American culture, you would say mañana, right? Tomorrow, which means not necessarily tomorrow, but in the future. So, procrastinating is kind of just pushing it away in front of you and never doing it, really. Yeah. And anti is not, not procrastinating. Yes. Okay, so Daniel 9 talks about the time prophecy that is so exact. He had foretold this many, many hundred years beforehand, before it happened, so he knew, he had a plan, he came right on the dot. He didn't come like a year late or a year early, as you might interpret if you didn't know that the year zero wasn't a year, right? Anyway, study this. It's fascinating. God is always on time. Also, Galatians 4:4, right? So also says that he chose a time and he came at that specific time. Another one, Mark 1:15. Let's read it. Mark 1:15 is also saying how the fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus would come had been fulfilled. Mark 1:15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What time was he talking about? The time was fulfilled. What time? Well, exactly, the one that we just looked at. Daniel 9, that the prophecy of the Christ, that the Messiah would come. Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs 22, verse 29. If you have your Bibles, go there. Proverbs 22, verse 29. Okay, Proverbs 22, verse 29. It says there, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. What does that mean? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Is that bad men? Evil men? Mean men? Right? No, it's actually not. It's he will stand before kings. He will not stand before normal, mean. Like, it's the, in the meanwhile, like, it's the, how do you call it? The common middle,
common.
Yeah,
average.
unknown man, yeah, like the common normal person. He will stand if he, and what is it pendant on? A man that is what? How does it describe it? What does it say there?
No,
diligent man, right? A diligent man in his business. So somebody that you knows how to use his time. Okay, Ephesians, and this is the central text, I would say, of this study. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17. It says there, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Okay, sounds interesting. Starts with, be wise, not as a fool, right? And then it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So we have to redeem the time. There's actually an appeal that we would use the time because the days are evil. Let us today, right? There's a whole, we could have a whole study on today is the time that the Lord is calling you. Make your decision now. You know, no, don't procrastinate. All of these things. So, but the days are evil because it just continues. You know, we will never experience another yesterday. Just not possible. Sorry. You know, not in this world. We are limited to time. We are limited. Time is evil. It just will just continue. And if you like it or not, in less than 48 hours, we're going to be in a new year. If you like it, you can't stop it. The days are evil. And then verse 17 is interesting. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise. Again, it says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we ought to know what the will of the Lord is for us in regard to using our time as well. Interesting text. Ephesians 5. Keep this in mind. Okay. Days are evil. Here's one principle that I would like to point out, and this is actually just in the very beginning we talked about it. I had to run here, otherwise I would have felt like a hypocrite being standing in front of you. It says here in Evangelism, page 650, says regularity in all things is essential. Never be late to an appointment. Never be late to an appointment. Remember this, never be late to an appointment. Try to do everything in your power to not be late to an appointment. Of course, there might come things here and there, but try with everything you can to not be late for an appointment. Says it. And I think it's a good point. Okay. The purpose of time. What is the purpose of time? Here's like the ground that we're building on. Your voice, your influence, your time, all these are gifts from God and are to be used for what? In winning souls for Christ. This is the purpose. The purpose of time, the purpose of influence, the purpose of voice, the purpose of talents, as we looked at yesterday already, it's nothing new. The purpose of it is to win souls for Christ, which means, which we could, in a way, put as an equal to the definition of a missionary. Because a missionary is somebody that wins souls for Christ, right? So this is a, just another way to express it. But this is like the foundation for the things that we're going to talk about. We're going to go look here at three different things that have helped me in my daily life to use time effectively. And I have like an understanding for time. Time is a question of priority. If somebody says, I don't have time for this or that, it doesn't mean that they don't have time. It means it's not a priority. Okay? Does that make sense? If you're carporting and somebody says, I don't have time, it's a lie. They're not interested. They don't want to take time. They could take time. It's the most probable fact is that they do have time for something that they're interested in. And as soon as you actually find out what is their problem out the door, suddenly you can spend a whole hour with them. And they didn't have time. No, it's not true. Time is a question of priority. So as soon as they say, oh, I loved it. Wow, what are you? I didn't know you were doing this. Suddenly they have lots of time for you. And they invite you in and this is a question of priority. And this is a good understanding forever. Whatever you say, whenever you say, I don't have time, question yourself. Is it because I don't prioritize this? And it's okay if you sometimes don't prioritize things, but it's good to be aware of this. It's not just because you don't have time. It's because you have other things higher in your priority list. Okay? Time is a question of priority. With that, together, is if you don't have time, take time. It's a similar concept to prioritizing. It means that if you feel like, I don't have time for this, but it is a priority, well, take time for it. You have to put it higher in the priority list and take time for it. It's a mentality question. Take time for things, you know. If something is important, you know, take time for it. I haven't included this in the talk, but you know how this is about prioritizing, tasks. Actually, maybe we'll look at it afterwards. But there's important tasks and urgent tasks. And then there's urgent tasks, but not important tasks. Then there's important tasks, but not urgent tasks. And then there's tasks that are not urgent and not important that you should never do. Okay? Okay. Anyway, this is like the box where we put things and we need to find out how are we going to use our time. Are we going to use our time on urgent things? Always firefighting, as somebody would call it. You know, trying to have another urgent thing, and it's not really important, but it becomes very important to you. You think it's important because it's right in your face, but you need to maybe take it out of your face and say, you know, this is not something important. But you know, it's a tough one. But think about that one. Okay, one more thing that we already looked at: never be late to an appointment. This is also just a groundbreaking. It helps you to be consistent. Every time you're late, it's a defeat. Every time you're late, it's a defeat. And in the last couple of years, I've started feeling that every time I'm late, I feel defeated for being late because of this. And it helps me to, and it's beneficial. And there, here's another principle that is interesting, right? I think, I'm not sure where to quote it from, but somebody said that being on time is being late. I think this is Swiss, but being 5 minutes early is being on time. That's another aspect. If you think that coming in here like I did, which I was actually late, I was here on 30, but that was on time, but it was late. I wasn't prepared to just give the talk. So with this definition, I was a little bit late, I would say, to be honest with you. but in any case, that's just also a mentality question, and it's also a question of your culture and all of these things. But I think we need to strive towards ideals when it comes to time. Okay, now I chose to I have practical applications that I want to go through with you, some practical hints. And then I have how to use time improperly or not use time, improper use of time, and then proper use of time. Those are the three sections that I have. I'm not sure how far we will get through it. So I decided probably from what you said yesterday in your introduction, probably the most part that you're most interested in is the practical applications. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Practical applications. So that's why I decided to. I was actually in the back, in the bottom, but I put it in the front. So we're going to go look at the practical applications first, and then we'll see if we can have some improper use of time and proper use of time on as well before we close. Okay, good. Then practical applications. Here is the nine things that we're going to go through. You don't have to write them down right now because I have a slide on each one. So these are the nine practical applications that we'll go through. The first one is memorize and meditate. When you have an hour of leisure, open the Bible and store the mind with its precepts and truths. When engaged in labor, guard the mind, keep it stayed upon God, talk less, and meditate more. So, something that you can do when you're not sure what you're doing, when you're standing in line, when you're for food, or when you're here or there on a bus stop or in the train or wherever you are, use your time to meditate and memorize. I have started using something that has helped me in memorization. I don't know how you memorize. I've gotten an application that helps me to store all the verses that I want to use, and there's flashcards, it can read it to me, I can read new verses, so it's all audio as well, and yeah, so there's different ways, but you need to find your own way how you can saturate the mind, and that's just, I would say, it's practical or proper use of time. Okay, number two, make the day and make night the night. This is also important. There are young men and young women who are very much opposed to order and discipline. They pay no heed to rules for rising and retiring at regular hours. But burn the midnight oil at that time, right? The midnight lamp, right? They had oil when they had candles and so on. And then lie in bed in the morning. Would it not be well to break up the habit of turning the precious hours into night and turning the hours of night into day by the use of artificial light? So she recommends, let's make the night. If you're in the habit of studying in the night and sleeping in the day, it's not a very healthy habit to have. So keep that in mind. I think it's practical. Yes?
Anil is teaching in his health courses that during the daytime, the brain, there's some damage happening during the daytime. And during the night, it fixes, like the computer. Mm-hmm. And especially the early hours, they are the most important for the brain.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, step or third practical application. Make memos and accomplish them. This is one of the probably most important points that hopefully you will take away from this time. Make memos and accomplish them. This is something that they have realized in time management research, that this comes up all over and over again. It's if you have a pen or a paper or a phone or something, write down things that you need to do and then do them. Okay? It's not that simple, so we're going to look at how actually you can do it or some practical help for you to actually be able to accomplish that. Here's a statement. As far as possible, it is well to consider what is to be accomplished through the day. Okay, so in the morning, what should I do today? What do I want to accomplish this day? It would be well to consider that. Make a memorandum, right, a memo, of the different duties that await your attention, and set apart a certain time for the doing of each duty. Okay? So it's not only just putting everything you have to do, but say, well, this I'm going to do between this and this time, this I'm going to do between this and this time, it's going to require this much time and this much time. Okay, so estimate. This is the hard part. This is where many, and also myself, I'm learning here as well. I also myself am struggling sometimes to actually just say, okay, I want to do this in this amount of time. And another interesting part when we're talking about this is that time expands to the amount, or the work expands to the amount allotted to it. Did you get that?
No.
Work expands to the time allotted to it. That means that if you say, I'm going to write this piece of paper in 8 hours, the probability that you're going to use 8 hours is quite high. If you say, I only have 4 hours to do this, and you say, 4 hours, okay, 1 hour here, 1 hour there, whatever. The probability that you're going to write that paper in 4 hours is much higher. So it's you don't want to be too idealistic either and say I'm gonna do it in 5 minutes, you know. but you want to set time, something realistic but ambitious, so that you can strive towards using time effectively and efficiently. Okay, set apart a certain time for the doing of each duty. Let everything be done with thoroughness, neatness, and dispatch. Like quick, is that right?
Yeah,
dispatch efficiently. That's right. He's an English teacher. Okay. That's Sons and Daughters of God, 114. Here, something that also comes to mind. Stress is not a result of a lot of things to do. Did you know this? Stress is not necessarily the result of a lot of things to do. But stress is having a lot of things to do, but not knowing exactly what or how. Could be added there. Stress, you get stressful or stressed when you don't know exactly how to accomplish this task. Yeah? Do you notice this? If you know what you need to do and you know how to do it, well, you just do it. I mean, it won't stress you as much. But if you don't know exactly how to do it and you go into that, you know, it will stress you. So this is something also interesting to just be aware when you're stressed about time management, or, you know, it's not because there's so much to do necessarily, but because you don't know exactly what to do. So you need to find out, how can I do these things, and approach that, the cause, first, and that will help you to accomplish the task. Okay. Put tasks on a piece of paper, or wherever. Here comes now something practical on memos. Put it on a piece of paper, or if you have a phone, or however is fitting for you, something that you can have with you during the day. Okay, something that you know, if it's a piece of paper, that's fine. If it's a smartphone, is also fine. I use Wunderlist, for example, that has memos that works well for me, because it also has subtasks, and you'll see why I think that's important in a minute. But yeah, for example, here's a memo that could be done, right? That could be on my to-do list sometime. So I'm going to have lunch with Impact Germany, or, you know, tomorrow, right? Anyway, that could be something, right? Christmas card, or do Christmas shopping. I don't know. I don't do that, actually. But that could be on somebody's. Talk with Renee about the New Year's program. Check my email, do a light report. That's an organization that Matheson is part of. Impact, you know, save the world. Research on recent lifestyle club opportunities. or a book, you know, read New York City. This is a symbol. It's a book. Okay, now, it's a question. Now you have this task in front of you, or this task list that you have set down, and say, okay, how am I gonna accomplish this? And I'm going to give you five D's that will help you, hopefully, to actually accomplish your memos in an effective way, okay? I would recommend you to write them down, okay? Yes? Can you get the PowerPoint? Yes, you can get the PowerPoint if you... Let me see, how does this work best? I can send my email. I can write my email later. It's just jeremy@matteson.no. If you send me an email, I can send you the PowerPoint. Okay, first thing when you have a to-do list, the first one is do it. Do it. If something takes less than 5 minutes on your to-do list, do it right away. Okay, this is just you go through it and you do it right away. So that's the first one. You want to get those small things. They might not be important. They might just be urgent, but hopefully you can just get them out of the way, right? The next one is delete it. Also important. If you have something on your to-do list that you don't really need to do, then don't do it. Okay. If you don't really need to do it, don't do it. Just delete it, okay? You don't need to go and do this or the other thing that you might think, well, yeah, this it would be nice to do, but you don't have to do it. So those are the maybe unimportant, unurgent things, okay? That, you know, Facebook. I mean, you could spend lots of time on Facebook, but you might... You know, you could schedule 2 hours on Facebook, right, on your to-do list. But if you don't need to do it, don't do it. You know, use 5 minutes, do it. Just quick, but don't get sucked into it. But make sure you follow. So, okay, do it, delete it. Third one, delegate it. If there's something on the to-do list that you can delegate to somebody else, delegate it, you know. Wash the dishes. Yeah, if there's something that you don't necessarily need to do, and if it's maybe even in another, if you're talking organization, in another department, or you could get another department to take responsibility for it, delegate it. Yeah, I mean, like I wouldn't have been able to come here on time if I hadn't delegated very quickly that Lindis could find this mop for me and somehow bring it up here, and so she did, and she delegated to her, I don't know who, to bring it up. Yeah, somebody brought it. Praise the Lord. And now I'll delegate. Can you find the right quote here that fits to this presentation? I don't have to do that myself. I can just delegate it. She'll be happy to do it. So. Is that right? I have like 4 different ones. Okay, good. Okay, then. Oh, I see something is wrong here in the next one. The fourth one is decide it. Decide it means prioritize it. These boxes, you remember the boxes? Is it important? Is it urgent? Is it both? Then make sure that it gets done that day. You know, if it's important and urgent, you need to do it. To just describe a little bit what is important and not urgent is, for example, exercise. Exercise is important, but not urgent. And that's why sometimes I delegate or I sorry, delegate it to somebody else to do for me. No, that's a hard one to delegate. But I sometimes just don't do it because it's not as urgent as maybe, well, other things that are right in my face, right? It's not something I need to conscientiously know. This is important. I need to take time for it. I need to take time every morning for it. Otherwise, if I don't take time for it, I won't do it. So you need to, decide it. Decide on what is important and then schedule time for it and prioritize it. Okay, and then the last one, which is also, I think, very important, is detail it. Detail it. Like if you look at this list here, you know, okay, lunch with Impact Germany, and then you say, okay, I'm going to spend 1 hour for this. And then you set 1 hour and you do it like that. Okay, that's fine. That's quite simple, and you can do it quickly. Write a Christmas card. I would delegate that to somebody else to write it. I'll write my name under it. It's fine. With their name as well, usually. I don't know. Christmas shopping.
Don't expect a Christmas card.
Sorry. Christmas shopping. I don't know. What do we do with this? We don't really do that either. It just comes along. Anyway, this is a bad example for me.
Buy a gift for your mom.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then and that you don't delegate to somebody else. You have to find out what it is. Thank you. Good. This is the central quote. Okay. Talk with Renee about New Year's program. Okay, that's fine. I can write a text. Can we meet then and then to talk about this? Okay. Put it in my calendar. Actually, something else that I think I mentioned it is if you have a calendar, you need to have also a calendar somehow that tells you what you're doing when, you know. If you don't have that, you probably will just spend your time and you will wonder, oh, what happened with my time, right? But if you have a calendar, you know what happened with your time because you have scheduled it and it's in your phone or wherever, on your Mac or PC. But now, what I was wanting to say here, impact is something that I need to do, but it's. I can't just have impact as a to-do list. I mean, like a memo. Like, I need to detail it. I need to say, okay, I need to talk with Joachim. I need to talk with him about this and this, about the bylaws. I need to talk with him about the impact strategic plan. I need to talk with him about this and that, or I need to send this with. I need to go and visit the union to talk with them about this and that. And so you need to make the points more specific and actually have sub points on that. So there's different magnitudes of things that are on your to-do list when it comes, you know, and you need to see that and you need to detail it, and because otherwise it'll always be on your to-do list. You'll never get to feel the satisfaction of, I did this, you know, I managed this today, I managed to complete this today. Otherwise, it's always going to stay there. And you're always just going to, it's always a burden. But you need to detail it, okay? So, do you remember the five steps? Five Ds? First one? Do it. That's right. Second? Delete it. Very good. Third one?
Delegate
it. Yeah, that's right. And the fourth one?
Decide
it. That's right. And the last one? Oi. What was the last one? Detail it. Exactly. So if you can remember this when you're doing your memos, I think this can help you if you put it in practice. Okay? Okay, good.
Chairman,
yes?
You might want to check and see if everybody has the same quote.
They were different ones, huh?
Oh. Sorry.
It's okay.
They'll give it to somebody who knows.
Which ones did you get?
Well, I think maybe they got some of these two because I just got them according to
the small
kind
ones?
Of the size.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did everybody get the right quote? The one purpose above all others for which God's gifts should be used.
Oh, that's not the one that I thought.
Sorry. This one is for tomorrow. That's
your
when you
voice, use it. Your influence, your time, all
that's
these
right.
are gifts from God. So everybody has a different one.
Does anybody have this one? Your voice, your influence, your time. All these are gifts from God. Okay, who does not have this one? Good, good question. Can we take it in the end? Yes. Okay. Good. Set aside time. Okay. Give yourself a number of minutes to do the work, and do not stop to read papers and books that take your eye, but say to yourself, I have just so many minutes in which to do my work, and I must accomplish my task in the given time. I love this. She just writes about time management so nicely. Let those who are naturally slow of movement seek to become active, quick, energetic, remembering the words of the apostle, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So slowness is actually something that should be overcome. It's interesting how she formulates it, and she does in another quote as well. So set aside time and say, I must do this in a certain amount of time. And then, when you've done it, it's out of the way. We'll learn a little bit more about that as well. Create new habits. If you are under the control of slow dilatory movements, mm-hmm. Which is slow. How would you define it? Slow movements, dilatory.
Slothful.
Yeah. If your habits are of a lazy order, you will make a long job out of a short one. And it is the duty of those who are slow to reform and to become more expeditious. Wow. It is the duty. It is our duty, if we're slow, to become fast in our work, when we do our work. If they will, they can overcome their fussy, lingering habits. If they will. It is our choice. This might seem overwhelming, right? But this is the fact. We can choose, and we can work on our habits to make ourselves go even better and better and better. And I actually it was such a blessing for me to actually prepare this seminar. It was such a rebuke to me in many things that and helped me to reform my habits as well. In preparation for this seminar.
I have one more question.
Can we take it in the end?
Okay.
Thank you. Regularity. Here's something. Washington, the nation statesman, was enabled to perform a great amount of business because he was thorough in preserving order and regularity. Washington. You know who Washington was? George Washington. You know who George Washington was? The president of the United States. Long time ago.
First one.
That's right. Every paper had its date and its place. Interesting. And no time was lost in looking up what had been mislaid. Men of God must be diligent in study, earnest in the acquirement of knowledge, never wasting an hour. Thorough, persevering exertion, they may rise to almost any degree of eminence as Christians, as men of power and influence. Isn't that interesting? There's so much value put on time management, actually, in this. But many will never attain superior rank in the pulpit or in business because of their unfixedness of purpose and the laxness of habits contracted in their youth. So in your youth, you can say a lot, you can determine a lot of how you're going to be in the future when it comes to time management. Careless, inattention is seen in everything they undertake. A sudden impulse now and then is not sufficient to accomplish a reformation, and these easy, loving, indolent ones. This is a work which requires patient, continuance, in well-doing. Men of business can be truly successful only by, and then she mentions four things. By what? Number one, regular hours
for rising.
So getting up at the same time every day. Regular hours for rising, for prayer, for meals, and for retirement. This is interesting, huh? To go to bed. Four things. If order and regularity are essential in worldly business, how much more so in doing work for God? This is interesting. I heard a sermon where somebody quoted this and said that that there's actually studies done on businessmen, on the most successful CEOs, the chief executive operator, right, of institutions. What makes them successful? And it's interesting that they had regular hours and for retirement and for getting up. It's interesting that they value that so much. That's why they pay double or triple to go on first class to be able to go during the day or sleep in the night in the plane, right? So it's interesting. I mean, it's valuable that they want to pay more. Okay, use time twice. Number seven. Take a book with you to read when you're traveling on the cars or waiting in the depot. This would be on planes or trains or yeah, anywhere else today. Employ every spare moment in doing something. It's interesting. I've read a statement just recently that one of our desires of our hearts is to do, or how was it formulated? I forgot the wording, but it was laziness or inactiveness is something that we just like Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't really have anything to do, so they did, you know, junk, or they came up with dumb things. So she recommends that we would use our mind and use every spare moment for something good, to be able to use our time effectively. In this way, an effectual door will be closed against 1,000 temptations. In another statement, it actually says that an idle mind is the devil's playground. Do you get that? An idle mind, somebody that doesn't know what he's going to do, one of those 1,000 temptations, or many of them, you know, will come and enter our minds. If we have activity that is positive, it will hold us away from temptations. Had King David been engaged in some useful employment, interesting, right? He would not have been guilty of the murder of Uriah. It was because of failure of time management that David killed Uriah. Interesting. Serious. Rise early. Mark 1:35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. There's many, many verses there as well. There's all from Jeremiah. And rise early. And there's an interesting statement that I also thought was good to memorize. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. This doesn't work always during conventions like this, but you know. Yeah, take it for what it is and try to implement it as much as you can. Be useful. Young ministers should study to make themselves useful wherever they are. When invited to visit persons at their homes, they should not sit idle, making no effort to help the ones whose hospitality they share. So when you're invited somewhere, say, how can I help? You know, like, always be useful. Have that in mind. Obligations are mutual. If the minister shares the hospitality of his friends, it is his duty to respond to their kindness by being thoughtful and considerate in his conduct towards them. The entertainer may be a man of care and hard labor by manifesting a disposition not only to wait upon himself, but to render timely assistance. The minister may often find access to the heart and open the way for the reception of the truth. Helping, being useful, seeing opportunities where he can help, that will often open the hearts for somebody to receive the truth. Okay. 5 minutes left. Does everybody have this quote now? Your voice, your influence, your time, all these are gifts and that are to be used in winning souls for Christ. Do you have it all?
I have the wrong one again.
You have the wrong one again? Yeah, I'll give you.
Give me two.
I can share it with somebody else. Okay. I would like to appeal to you. If you would like to make a decision today to use your time in winning souls for Christ, that you would understand that your time is not here for self-indulgence, for using it on yourself, but to serve others and help others and make use your time and make it effective to reach most people. Because this is, I think, the foundation of Christian life, is that all of our talents, all of our resources, all of our time are not ours. Could see, for example, Noah. Noah, how long did he spend working on that ark? 120 years, right? About. I mean, can you imagine after 80 years working on this thing, he's like, man, I'm wasting my time, right? Like, he's using so much time. But he surrendered his time. He said, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. And even if there was never rain on the planet, okay? There's never been rain on the planet, you know? I will do this ridiculous thing that you ask of me, because I believe it's your will. He surrendered his time. You know, after he was on that ark and he walked off of the ark, he was the only one that had time. Did you see that? The Lord gave him time. Let us surrender our time to God and we will be able to use our time effectively. So I would like you to write on the back of these cards, if you will, your commitment. If you don't have a pen, who does not have a pen? Anybody else? Can you supply the back? There. Pens over there. If you would like to, here's a suggestion. My suggestion for your commitment. You can write whatever you are convicted about today yourself on the back of this quote. On the back of the quote, write something, or my suggestion would be, I want to use all of my time in winning souls for Christ. This is my desire. This is your desire. Then write that on the back of the card. And then when you have written it, you can put it in your Bibles in Ephesians 5. Is it possible to stand for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift, the talent of time. Dear Father, we pray that you would help us to know how to use it effectively and how to surrender it to you. And we know that everything that we surrender to you, even our lives, you will give back to us according to your will. Father, it is a great privilege to work in your vineyard and to go forward as you would have us. Thank you for giving us principles to work by, and we pray that you will lead us in our daily lives and help our minds to be diligent and swift, to be able to use time in the most effective way, because time is evil. It is running out, and there's souls perishing for eternity. We thank you, dear Father, that you have called us to work together with you, and that you will do the work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.